We're getting there, folks. Luke chapter 1. I wanted to finish out the chapter. I don't think it's going to happen. And it'll work out very good because I'll tell you why later. Anyway, Luke chapter 1. I'm going to be reading from verse 67 to 80 today. Verses 67 to 80. This is Zacharias, and as he was filled with the Holy Spirit, this was his praise that came out of his mouth, first thing he had said in over 9 months. Starting in verse 67, and his, basically John's, father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from us from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this amazing praise, Lord, that has come out of Zacharias here. Father, for what he knew at that point, what he understood, and what he prophesied. Lord God, for the shock that it had among the people there. And Lord, for the way it has all happened, just the way he said. Father God, how you put it together thousands of years before that, and how it all happened just that way. And we can look back at it now and see that you have taken care of every detail. Because you are faithful. You are faithful to your word. Father God, we need to understand that, because there's a lot in your word that we rely on. And sometimes we get to thinking, wondering whether you're really faithful to it because of our circumstances. But Lord God, these folks have had 400 years without a prophet at all. Their circumstances were much more dire. And yet, Lord God, you were taking care of every detail. You are faithful to your word, and we love you and we praise your name. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As we get into this, we need to understand that Luke wrote the book. Luke is the only Gentile who wrote one of the Gospels. He wrote it to get every detail right. He was very orderly. He wanted to make sure that this aspect of the life of Christ, the fact that he was 100% man, this aspect was not lost. He wanted to make sure that people understood this about him. They needed to know that. We've talked about the theme being that he is 100% man, but a sub-theme on that is the fact that God is faithful. God is faithful to his word, because he keeps going over and over that to make sure we understand it. We've talked about Zacharias and Elizabeth, how Zacharias, anyway, received the message in unbelief, needed a sign, wanted a sign, got the sign, not the sign he wanted, but he got the sign. He was silent for more than 9 months. And then we look at the message presented to Mary and how she not only believed but was submissive to that, and God gave her a sign. And we looked at the sign confirmed with Elizabeth's pregnancy, how she was filled with the Spirit and spoke to Mary and confirmed that sign that God had given, and confirm the word that God had given. And then we saw how John was born, and the glory of that. and the fact that they were all fearful around, and we're going to see why today that they were filled with fear. We're going to look at what Zechariah said. Now, it doesn't say that these were his first words. What it does say, if you go back in verse 64, it said after he had written that his name is to be John on this tablet thing, it says in verse 64, and at once his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Now, we're not positive that this is what he said, but pretty sure. Because when he spoke in praise of God, look at the reaction. Verse 65, fear came upon all those living around them. Fear came upon them. And if you looked at what he said here, fear would come upon them. Because what they had looked for thousands of years, what Israel had longed for thousands of years was going to happen. What had become more of a myth than reality was going to become reality. So it would have been a very fearful thing. But let's start in verse 67. I want to look at the praise of Zacharias. Verse 67. Look at the fact of his prophecy here. And his father, John's father, who was born there, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now remember our definition of filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled being that of Ephesians chapter 4, where it says do not be drunk with wine or controlled by wine, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's not the fact that the Holy Spirit is in us. It's the fact that we're submitting to the Spirit and in his power, he has given forth something that Zacharias needed right here. Zacharias needed to share. The people needed to know. So Zacharias was faithful to what God has said, and God was using him here to share this message, to not only foretell something, but forth-tell something. As we get into this, you'll see that. I want to look at the prophecy itself, starting in verse 68. There were six covenants in the Old Testament that were named covenants. Okay, there was a covenant to Adam we call the Adamic covenant, but it wasn't called a covenant. There were six covenants that were called covenants. Several of them were conditional upon something. You know, the Noahic covenant, there was the covenant that was given to Noah, and the covenant that was given to Moses, the Mosaic covenant, and the priestly covenant would have been the Levitical covenant. Okay, all of these were types of covenants that God gave, and they were conditional on certain things. But a covenant was a promise by God, a promise that was given by God. All right? But there were three others that Zacharias gets into here. And he does so because Zacharias, remember who Zacharias is. He's a priest. And he has gone over the history of Israel so much. He knew the covenants that God gave. He knew each covenant. He knew each promise that God had given. And he was putting it together now. Whether it was in his own mind, I believe it was because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had come on him and he had put all of this together in Zacharias' mind. You know, it's easy for us looking back and looking at this saying, what is the problem here? I mean, John was coming and here Christ was coming. Christ was here. And boy, we look back and say, all right, think of 400 years since they had even had a prophet. 400 years where they had been conquered and reconquered and reconquered. And now they were under Rome. The tyranny of Rome. And if you ever read much about Rome, you understand how bad it was. So it had become more of a myth, kind of like a lot of times when we talk about the Lord's return. We say, oh yeah, someday the Lord will come back. You know, we say that enough and people start thinking, yeah, right, okay, someday, yeah, some in the hereafter. You know, even people talk about, oh yeah, in the hereafter, the whenever, the, right? And Scripture says that, what's it say in Titus? We're longing for, looking for that glorious hope, that blessed appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why are we looking for it or longing for it? Because we know it's true. Because he said it would happen. So we look for it. We anticipate that. Well, these people were anticipating the Messiah, but it had been 400 years since they'd even heard about the Messiah. 400 years since they'd heard about him from a true prophet. Yes, they had the Old Testament. They had the Septuagint at this point, I think. Well, anyway, they had the Old Testament. And it had been prophesied over and over in the Old Testament. So Zacharias knew, and yet here it was coming true. And Zacharias has put all of this together. So what he had referred to here are three covenants, three specific covenants that were called covenants in the Old Testament. The first one he refers to is the Davidic covenant, the covenant given to David, which was a universal covenant. This aspect of it was universal. The second one he refers to is the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that God made with Abraham. And remember, when God made the covenant with Abraham, it wasn't conditional at all. God passed through the two animals. He said, Abraham, cut the two animals apart. And God passed through there. Usually, with a covenant, when you made a covenant with somebody, you cut an animal in half, you spread the animal in half, and you walk through that together. It was kind of like a contract. We have a contract now. You make that contract, and if you don't perform that aspect of the contract, we can take you to court. The other person can take you to court, and you have repercussions from that. In that day, they would split that animal apart, and both of you would walk through, and if you didn't perform that aspect of the contract, you could be split apart. Right? They could cut you in half and split you apart. So this was a very, very... A covenant was not just a, oh yeah, you know, if I have time, I'll do it. That wasn't the kind of thing it was. It was very, very important. God had made a covenant with David. And that covenant, I'm going to read just one verse of it. It's found in Jeremiah 23, the one of the aspects of the Davidic covenant. There was more aspects to it, but the one that I believe they're talking about here says, "Behold, the days are coming." And this is in Jeremiah 23:5. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land." We're talking about the Messiah. And he goes on and go back to Luke chapter 1. Where are we at? 68. So it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." Now when he says this, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished." As you read this, Zacharias is talking like it's already happened. Okay? Because you go through and he says, in verse 69, "And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old." Goes on and he's basically saying, look, it's a done deal. This is what God has done. And yet they were looking forward to that. They were looking for that, or hoping for that, or thinking, you know, like we do oftentimes, someday it may happen that the Lord would come back. Yeah, okay, someday. No, they were looking forward. I believe that's the complacency that it had gotten to. They were looking for it, but not really thinking that it was ever going to happen. Even Zacharias. But now he has put it together. Now, because he's filled with the Spirit, because he has John, because he had Mary with Jesus in her for 3 months in his household, and he knew because of what Elizabeth, when she was filled with the Spirit, said, he knew who it was. He's saying, look, it's a done deal. Why is he saying it's a done deal? Because God said it. God promised it. And it's happening. That's the exciting part with Zacharias. It was happening right then. Look at verse 68. It says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel," which is repeated oftentimes by David in Psalms. But then he says, "For he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." The word visited, it means to look after or to select carefully. He's saying he has looked after us. He has selected us carefully. In fact, he has taken care of us. That's another interpretation. He has taken care of us. Blessed be God, because he's taken care of us and done what? And accomplished redemption for his people. He has accomplished or performed redemption. What is redemption? It comes from the word redeemed. It means to buy back. He has bought back his people. Now, I believe what he had in view here is with Adam. I mean, with Adam, he created Adam, he created Eve, he walked with them, he talked with them, and then sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and what happened? There was a separation. I mean, we can no longer just go out and walk with God beside, just like Adam did. Why? Because of sin. But he redeemed us. He has bought us back. And the last enemy to be conquered will be death, and that's a whole other story. But look at verse 69. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. So what we're talking about is the Davidic covenant. What we're talking about is the fact that God promised to send a king through the line of David. Now, when we get to chapter 3, we're going to see the genealogy. We're going to see how that all that happened. Okay, and I want to look back at Matthew's genealogy, too, because there are some really neat things about genealogy. You know, I used to hate genealogy. You look at it and says, well, this guy begat this guy begat this guy begat this, you know, and then you start snoring. But I actually, as you get into the genealogies and look how God worked through it and the people he used and why he used them and how he used them, it's amazing. I mean, I've even done this with the youth group. Like, why would you ever do a genealogy with you? With several youth groups, I've done that. Because it's neat. It's neat what's there. We'll get to that. Okay, that's not this week, is it? Anyway, we're back in verse 69. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. My point was the fact that God said it to David. He said that salvation would come through David's line. And he's accomplishing it. Okay? Now this, again, Zacharias is exploding in praise. First thing he said in over 9 months, and he is praising God. But all the people there are saying, whoa, what do you mean? He's accomplished his salvation. Number one, you didn't name the child what you should have named him. Number two, everything's been extraordinary. She is way too old to have a child, and here she's having a child. And now you're saying that God has accomplished what we have been looking for him to accomplish. So all of this was opening up the eyes of the people, and that's why back in verse, 65? Fear came upon all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. Word spread. Word spread, because Zacharias, and what he says later is amazing, especially about the new covenant. So all of these things, the people were taking in and they were saying, whoa, this is amazing. The horn of salvation being Christ, which would have been a reference to Christ, coming through the home of David or the house of David. The promise of salvation coming through David's line. Look at verse 70. For he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Now what he's done, what Zacharias has done is he looked, and this comes from, I believe, 2 Samuel and also Psalms. 2 Samuel, I'll just give you the reference because this is really long. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 to 17, talks about the promise to David, the covenant to David. And that's coming from Nathan the prophet. So if you have time, you want to look back at that, look back at that. But in Psalm 106, in verse 71 is a quote where he's talking about verse 71. And what Zacharias, I don't believe, had understood before, but what he's understanding now is that's a messianic psalm. He's talking about when the Messiah comes. He's talking not talking about so much physical, but what is spiritual, what is true. And Zacharias is putting all this together. Remember, he was versed in the Old Testament. He was looking back at how important the covenants was. And basically he was saying, look, believe what David said. Believe what God said to David. Okay? Now that was where he's pointing at the Davidic covenant. I want to look at the Abrahamic covenant, where he's pointing at that. Start in verse 72. to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. This was the covenant, talked about the covenant that he had given Abraham. Remember that God made this covenant. It was an unconditional covenant. And in it, part of what he said, here's what he said in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. This wasn't the actual covenant itself, but this is what he was telling him about the covenant. To the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. There's the aspect of in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Because he's talking about creating a nation here, the nation of Israel. But in Abraham, in that, all the families are blessed. How? By the Messiah. By Jesus Christ coming through the Jewish line, coming through the nation of Israel, and accomplishing a redemption for everyone, accomplishing salvation for the world. That's how he's talking about. There is another part in Genesis chapter 17. If you ever, you might want to write it down and look at it too. It's verses 1 through 8. Very good. But the covenant that was made to Abraham was a covenant for a nation, but it affects all of us. This aspect of it affects us. Verse 72, it says, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. To not deal with them as they deserve, to show mercy is what it means. Mercy, grace means to give us something that we don't deserve. Mercy means to withhold something we do. So he's showing mercy toward them to remember his covenant, what God has promised them. You know, verse 73 says a lot, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father. The oath which he swore. This brings it right back on God's shoulders. What Luke wants them to understand is God swore this. God said it would happen. And it is happening right now. And this is what Zacharias is proclaiming. And I believe through the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he's proclaiming the truth that what God said is true and it's happening right now before you, and the people are becoming scared. And what he's going to say about the new covenant will even make them more fearful. But look at verse 74. Here's what he said. To grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies. The word rescued here means from, it's in the passive voice, which means God is doing it. God is doing the rescuing. To being rescued from the hands of our enemies, Satan's realm, from sin and despair. The promised salvation that was here. But look what it says. It says, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Might serve. And the word serve literally is worship. Might worship him without fear. What does that mean? Because what Zacharias was used to was worshiping out of fear. What the people were used to was worshiping out of fear. Why? Because they had the law. What did the law say? If you don't do it, you get cursed. That would strike fear into you, wouldn't it? If you do it, I'll give you a blessing. Oh, that's joyful. But if you don't do it, you're going to get cursed. And what have they seen all through their history? Those who were serving God faithfully were blessed. Those who were not were cursed. They had seen that over and over and over in their history. And the religious system was built on that. What happened when the man who was healed, Jesus healed the blind guy, he healed him? And the Pharisees brought him in before him and said, what happened to you? And, no, this guy is a sinner. He can't do this. What happened to you? And they tried to intimidate him so bad, he finally said, look, do you want to accept him too? Are you so blind that you can't see this is the right guy, the Messiah? Basically what he was saying.
And they said, who are you to tell us anything? Get out of here. In fact, you are unsynagogue. And his parents wouldn't even acknowledge it because they were afraid they'd be unsynagogue. So what was it? It was a system of fear, set up in fear. But here it says the covenant that God had given was that they might serve him or worship him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Worship him without... How do we worship God without fear? See, we can. We can worship God without fear. In fact, that's what God has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ. The law promoted fear, but Christ fulfilled the law on our behalf. So when he fulfilled the law, God said, you know what? You have to be perfect. You have to live perfectly by my law for you to get into heaven. And Christ did. And Mark's name is right there because he's accepted what Christ did. And this person and everyone who has accepted him is right there. They're written in Lamb's Book of Life. That is the works of Christ. The Lamb's Book of Life is the works of Christ. And that accomplished salvation for us. So there's no more fear in worshiping him. What did Zacharias see every year? He saw the high priest go into the Holy of Holies, and he stood outside and prayed and worried, because if those little bells quit ringing, he knew that high priest was dead. And they had something tied to his foot, they'd pull him out. That was fear. You know where we go when we pray? We go into the very throne room of God. Boldly. See, that's a scary word, because we look at that as pride. Well, look at what I can do. No, that doesn't show pride. We can go boldly because we have confidence because of what God has done for us. Even when we sin, we can go boldly into the very throne room of God because God has already forgiven our sin. We get to stand before God boldly. You see, the religion is, especially of Israel, another religion, any religion, seeks to make you act a certain way by coercion. A relationship, you want to act a certain way, not out of coercion, but because you already have this. That's why we don't have to serve God. As Christians, we do not have to serve God. We get to. It's our privilege. It's our excitement. That's why Titus says the grace of God is what motivates us to live godly lives, to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's the grace of God that teaches us that. So we know have fear. So this is what was being accomplished. This is what Zacharias says. Look, this is what was promised, and this is what's happening right now. This is what's happening. And the people are going, whoa, wait a second. Are you sure? Verse 75, part of the oath that he swore, verse 74, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might worship God without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. How can that happen? In his holiness and his righteousness. What does Romans say? Abraham, about Abraham. Abraham was declared righteous before God. He wasn't a righteous person in himself. He was declared righteous. What we have in the new covenant is so great. And all of this was pointing to that new covenant. And we're going to learn about the new covenant. I wanted to get through that today too, but it'll work great because we're going to have communion next week. And in communion, Christ said, this is the new covenant in my blood. We're going to look at the new covenant and what Zacharias said about the new covenant next week. And it was prophesied. This new covenant isn't a brand new thing. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. But it was brand new to them, because it wasn't something that they were used to. It's something that we've grown up with. We've become used to. But we need to see the glory of it. We need to recognize again how great it is what Jesus Christ did. These people became frightened, scared, because something that was kind of a myth was happening then. You know, I didn't even know what to compare it to. When D-Day happened, or when the bombing of Pearl Harbor, whatever, you know, all of a sudden things become real. It becomes real. And that's hard. That's frightful. But here, what has become real was glorious. And yet, it was something that they were scared. They were scared because of the change, the difference. I would love to finish this, because what he says about the new covenant is amazing. And that was even more frightful for the people, I think. But what I want you to, we'll end there, because I want to go ahead and say this. It's late anyway, but I want to go ahead and save this for next week, and we'll have communion. We'll talk about the new covenant. But what I want you to see, and what Zacharias was giving because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, is that God said it to David. God promised it to Abraham. It's true, and it's happening. All right. So he was trying to get the people to understand, look, this is the truth, and this is what's going on right now. And when God says it, it will happen. But I think a lot of times, again, we put things into a myth thing, you know, like Christ is coming someday. Yes, he is. And it's imminent. It could happen at any moment. You realize that tonight, Christ could come. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, we could be raptured home. We could be in the presence of God. Wouldn't that be a lot more fun than trying to work on your car? Trying to fix the house. I mean, we could be in the presence, and the relationships there will be amazing. But it's true. God said it. And if God says it, it is true. And it will be. And I think that's one of the things that Zacharias was bringing out here. The fact that God promised this, it's happening. It's true. You can trust God. Next week, we're going to learn about the new covenant and what Zacharias, how he presents that, and what God has to say about that. Let's close in prayer.